Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Breathe Again Magazine, the radio show, a moment of hope, inspiration, and solutions. Listen to real-life testimonies from women and men just like you who have gone from victim to victorious. Sit back, listen, connect in the chat room, and share the show with a friend. Here's your host, author, and motivational speaker, Nicole Cleveland.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Breathe Again, the radio show. Yes, I am your host. I'm Nicole Cleveland, and I get to come to you each Saturday and do what I love and love what I do. We interview real-life people that are going through or have come out of the storm. They're here to share their story with you so you know that trouble don't last always, that it's not always going to be like this. And if God did it for them, he will definitely do it for you too. So I do want you to sit back. I want you to relax. I want you to take a few notes. If you know someone that's going through a difficult time right now, share the show with them. Let them know that there is hope and it's not hopelessness. So we bless God for what we are doing. We give him the glory and the honor because it is all about him. We don't get on here to share our story so we get the glory. We do this so that God gets the glory and we can draw people unto him. So I'm just excited that I can share the stories on today with you. So look, if you're out there and you have a victorious testimony, I'd love to interview you as well. I want you to go to breatheagainmagazine.org and you can click that share your story, submit that form, and someone will reach out to you and get you on the show. You know, your story is just not for you. You know, there was a reason that you went through when you came out. It is because others will be going through the same thing, and it's up to you to share that story with them, to let them know, you know what, baby, I've been there, I've done that, but this is what God has done for me. So if you know somebody, click that link, send the link to them, or if it's you, I want you to fill that out as well. Hey, I do have to give a special shout out to Taishi Matthews. She's the founder of Beautiful Kids Organization, and last weekend there was an alopecia awareness event right here in Hampton Roads. It was in Hampton, Virginia, and they asked my daughter to come and mime, and my daughter went and she mimed, and you know what, I just want to thank Taishi Matthews, the founder of Beautiful Kids Organization, for what she's doing with these children that are living with alopecia. I want you to connect with her and support her work that she's doing because she doesn't even have a child that suffers with alopecia. She does it because it's in her heart to do it, and I just want to thank her for asking my baby to come out and mime. And if you need somebody, if you're having a youth event or anything, you need somebody to come out and not perform but to minister, I'd love to bring my daughter out. She does a beautiful job, not just because she's my daughter, but because God is using her. So connect with me if you need someone to come out to your youth event as well. You know what? You know how we do. We go into our prayer and then we come back with our first segment. But before we do that, I want to set the show up for you a little bit. This show today is really about hope and joy and how to get through that, those dark hours that you go through at night. From foster care to faith with Prophet Nicole Vaughn. Now she's gone through so many things, and she's here to share her story from foster care to jail to not knowing who she was to being broken. She's here and she's going to share her story, and she just released a new book. It's called A 21-Night Devotional for Women. So I want you to go out there and grab that as well. Our second segment, we have Krista Deanna, and she's a singer, a songwriter from Philadelphia, and I love, love, love her song that she has out today. If God is not in it, I tell you, I say that all the time. If God is not in it, I don't want to be in it at all. So we're going to bring her in our second segment. She's going to share her story, her love of ministering, and that song. We're going to play a little bit of that song for you. So you know what? We're going to go right into our prayer, and we'll be right back. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Father, Father, you hear our hearts this morning. We do not want to settle. We do not want to find our comfortable position and put up our tent there and be happy with you blessing me and mine. Father, we understand today that forgiveness and reconciliation and blessing and favor is given for reason, Lord God. It is given for purpose, Father. And today, God, we say, forgive us, Father, when we have taken on this attitude, Lord God, of all you've done. Father, use us, God, use us, pick us, choose us, Father. We want to spend ourselves. Father, I want to get to heaven with a life poured out, not with a life that looks perfect, Father. I want it to not look good. I want it to be good, Father. We love you today, Father God. We love you today, Father God. We love you today, Father God. Let our love be seen, Father God, on this earth. Let our love be carved out, Father God, on the pavements of our neighborhoods. Let our love be carved out for you, Father. Oh, Jesus, for the lonely. Lord, for the state that we were in. We were in that state, God. Yet someone bothered to take the time and present you to us. We'll never, ever take it for granted. And in turn, we live our lives as a thank you. As a thank you, Father. As a thank you.
Amen, amen. That is Darlene Sheck and Israel New Breed. If you are a family and you join us each and every week or you catch the archive show, you'll know that I play that prayer each and every week right before we go into our first segment because it is my prayer. I don't want my life to just look good. I want it to be good. And every day that I get a chance to wake up, I really want to live my life as a thank you. And that's what we all should be doing. So I pray that is your prayer as well. So you know what? I just want to jump into our first segment. We're going to go right here. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about Prophet Nicole Vaughn. Now, she received salvation at 14 years old while in foster care, but she didn't develop a real relationship with the Lord until the age of 18 while incarcerated. Now, I want you to listen because she talks about the stigma of foster care in jail and brokenness. Then we're going to get into a little bit about her new book that she released, and it's called A 21-Night Devotional for Women. Welcome to the show, Prophet Nicole.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You are more than welcome. Now, I said a little bit about who you were. Prophet Vaughn, how would you describe yourself to the audience? Who is Prophet Nicole Vaughn?
I'm just a humble girl from Brooklyn, New York, that has been through the fire on various levels, still going through the fire, yet I hold on to my faith no matter what, and the promise of my real identity through God. Just that's who I am. Humble,
amen,
Brooklyn.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
So let's go back to a little bit about you growing up. Now, you grew up in the foster care system. How did you find yourself in that system?
Well, my mom, she's saved now, praise the Lord and everything. But then she wasn't saved. She was on drugs. She was a drug addict. And she lost us. She lost everything. So with her losing everything, we had to be placed into foster care, me and my two little brothers. My sister was too old to go into foster care, so she didn't go in. She went to Job Corps, and we got placed into foster care in New York. So that's how we ended up in foster care from drugs. It was basically, you know, the lifestyle we grew up in, drugs, violence, things of that nature. And then it got so bad for my mother, she lost everything, that we had to be placed in foster care.
Oh, amen. I'm so glad that she's recovering, and she's in recovery, and she's saved now. What did it teach you, though? What did you find yourself involved in while in foster care? Because I'm sure you went from home to home.
Yes, well, I was pregnant with my daughter while I was in foster care. When I got placed in foster care, I was four months pregnant with my oldest daughter, Diamond. She's 22 right now. So while I was in there, you know, the first foster home, that was like the emergency placement. And while we was in the emergency placement, that's when I received salvation. We went to this, Scott Love, that's my baby. We went to this youth service, and they said, you know, let's go to the youth service because it's giving out free cake and cookies. So I went for the cake and the cookies, but
right,
the Lord had the Lord had the ministers on post for me to receive salvation. So after I received salvation at the emergency home, me and my brothers got sent to this permanent housing. But in the permanent housing, it wasn't good at all. This lady knew I was pregnant, but she would hide the food from us, lock it up in the kitchen. We had to crawl through windows to get to the food. And then on top of that, she ran a church, but it was a witchcraft church. So she was hiding food from us. We had to crawl through windows, and they was performing witchcraft underneath. It was a storefront in Queens. So it was crazy. We was like, we had to, like, protect each other, defend each other. On top of that, and learn about diverse demons of witchcraft. It was so scary in there. It was so scary. Then one day when my daughter, she was like a week old, I gave birth to her, the lady, Miss Jordan, she was like, who told you to go in the kitchen? She was from Trinidad. Who told you to go in the kitchen? And I was like, well, they were hungry. I said, we were hungry. You keep locking out of the kitchen, and my baby's formula's in there. We have to go in the kitchen. She's like, oh, no, y'all don't go in there. You know, mad and stuff. And this was a big woman, so, I wanted to fight her. But, of course, she stood her ground. So then we told our caseworker, and the caseworker split us up. The caseworker moved me to a different home and put my brothers in a separate home. So we were separated. In the midst of for a second of staying, we got separated. My brothers went to this foster home, and the people over there, you know, they were mean to them. They broke their toys. At that time, Sony PlayStation was just coming out. And so they broke up their toys and stuff, and they would call me and cry because I used to protect them. I was their big sister, and I couldn't do anything because I didn't know where they were at. And the foster home that I got sent to, that man was touching the children. It was this little girl. She was like 2 years old. He would call her in the room at night, and I knew he was touching because she would cry. And I was like, God, oh, man, my life is just horrible. I said, from my mother being on drugs to being abused and touched the wrong way and beat to now being in foster care, now I said, my brothers, they getting picked on, this stuff getting stolen, they crying, we separated, and I'm in a house with a man that's touching children and the wife is acting oblivious to it. I said, my life is hell, excuse my language. I said, God, Why did you allow me to be alive? That was at 16. I said, my life is hell. My life is hell.
Jesus.
No, that was
so, Prophet Vaughn, let's go back a little bit. Let's go back a little bit to you were pregnant. You were pregnant at age, what, 16?
Yes.
Okay. And then you were put in foster care. You were put in foster care. And then your brothers got you got separated from your brothers, but let's talk about that the actual process, because a lot of us will see on TV these horrendous situations, but this is real life. This is stuff that happens each and every day in foster care. But the people are supposed to be loving, but they're not loving. So you had to go all through that entire process. And, you know, I'm getting weepy right now because I can't imagine a child going through that, but we know each and every day that they do. What was your coming out? When did you just foster? Did you get out of the system because of age and then you started over? What was your turnaround point?
So I basically aged out because my mom had she had got clean at that time. She had relapsed since then, but she had got clean at that time, but she didn't want me. She didn't tell me to come home. She had moved to New Jersey, and she got my brothers. Talking about it made me feel like, I thought I was over, but I feel tears coming. She had got my brothers, but she didn't get me. And so I stayed in the foster care for a whole another year. Me and my daughter.
After you aged out?
No, that's what I'm saying. You know, you aged out at 18. So I stayed in there for a whole nother year, 17 and a half. And my brothers were in New Jersey with my mom. And I was in Queens with this foster family, you know. They were all right, you know. And I was like, man, my mom. So I said, I don't know why she don't love me. So why did she get my brothers and not me? So at 17 and a half, the social worker, she was a really good social worker. She was like, she said, you know, you're getting ready to age out. What do you want to do? We have to start preparing your paperwork now. You can stay in Queens, and we could place you in a shelter, transitional housing for teen mothers, or you can see if you can get back to New Jersey to your family, because your mom has a place in New Jersey. I should have said, let me go to the shelter, but I said, let me go to my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought that was the right thing, because it was my mom, but it wasn't the right thing. It wasn't
it was
the right thing. It wasn't. When I
so
got
what
there,
happened to you at that point?
When I got there, my mom had been relapsed, but nobody knew it. But I was prophetic, so I seen it. I knew it. It was in her spirit when she walked. I couldn't explain. I always thought I was psychic, so I seen it when she moved and stuff. And I was like, Mom. I said, we got love. I mean, I said, we got diamonds. She was one. I said, we got diamond here. We got the boys here. I said, you can't be doing this stuff because they're going to, we just got out of foster care. And in New Jersey, it's called DIFAS. I said, DIFAS is going to come in and separate us. She didn't want to hear it. She put me and my daughter out like one time in the snow, threw off. I stepped down the stairs and told me, get the F out. Get the F out. You too grown. You too fast. It's my house, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it was horrible. It was so horrible. Me and her began to fist. We began to fist fight.
Jesus.
We began to fist fight.
Yeah. How did you find yourself in jail?
For fighting her. Well,
wow.
It was a mixture of fighting her, and I got in a fight with somebody in Sunbury, New Jersey. So. When I fought the person in Sunbury, New Jersey, I had beat them up real bad. So they had pressed charges on me. But, you know, I hit myself. But my mom knew. So anyway, my mom was, at that time, wasn't living and stuff. And she was getting high and everything. And the house was crazy. And people coming in and out. And I was promiscuous, too. I'm not going to lie. So I didn't want to leave that day. I did not want to get out. I was like, I'm not going out there because I got a warrant. I said, stop trying to put me out. You're trying to separate me from my daughter. I said, I don't want my daughter dying to go in foster care. I just got out of foster care. She's like, oh, you want to get out? You got to get out. We got into a fight. And I fought her because she was trying to put me out again. And she called the police. And the police arrested me. And she put a temporary restraining order on me and said that I can't come back to the house. So that's how I ended up in jail. I was 18 and a half in jail.
Wow. And while in jail, you found your relationship with God. Is that correct?
That is correct. Because I received salvation at a young age, but I didn't know what it was that I was receiving.
Right, because you just went for cookies and cake, right?
Yes. I just went for cookies and cake. There's a, it's a youth
right.
service. Come on, they're giving us free cookies and cake. So,
right,
but
right.
When I got to the county, and I was in there, I was crying. I was separated from my daughter. My mother, we was fighting. She stayed putting me out. My life was crazy. I was very promiscuous. I was always violent, fighting people. Every time I turned around, I had to fight somebody. Now, the people on the street was bigging me up because, you know, I was a good fighter, you know. But I felt empty on the inside, and I felt like, you know, like God hated me. Because I seen people, lives that was the lives that I always wanted, you know, happy family, healthy home. But it seemed like I could never have it. So I thought he hated me.
Right.
So I was in there crying. And then this white woman came in. She came into my cell. But everybody said, Nicole, don't talk to her. She's crazy. Don't you talk to that white girl. She's crazy. She's going to try to take your cookies or she's going to try to suffocate you in your sleep because all she do is walk around and talk to herself. Don't you talk to her. She's crazy. So I was looking at this white woman with a skewed view because I was listening to everyone else. And the whole time I'm depressed and crying every day in my cell. Then one day, this very same white woman that everyone said do not talk to, she was out the cell during rec time, and I didn't want to go outside for obvious reasons, depressed, angry, feeling like my life is worthless. And I was crying. And I said, God, you hate me. Why am I here? This white woman walked into the cell quietly. Well, I'm crying. I guess I was too busy crying to hear her, but she walked in quietly. And she said, God told me to give you this. And she handed me the Bible, opened up on Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When my enemies and my foes come upon me, devour my flesh, they stumble and fall. I can't remember all of it. Then I got to the part where it says, when my mother or my father forsake me, the Lord will lift me up.
Yes, yes.
When I read that, immediately, I heard his voice. I knew it was his voice because it was the same voice that was telling me stuff when I was in the world, but I thought I was psychic. So I immediately heard his voice, and he said, you're my daughter. I love you. I don't hate you. You are mine. And I began to cry, but it was tears of joy. It was tears of liberation. I said, God, you're real. You don't hate me. You love me. And he began to minister unto me. And I got released 30 days later. Then I didn't walk the straight and narrow right away. It took me some time. That's my new baby. She's one. I didn't walk the straight and narrow right away. However, I had him with me. He was my guide. He said, I love you. I didn't make your life hard just to make it hard. I love you. I love you. You're my daughter. You're beautiful. I was like, oh, Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah. And then it started from there. That's how the relationship
Amen.
Started.
Praise
hallelujah.
God. So let's fast forward to the 21-night devotional for women. What inspired that?
Well, it's a 21-night woman's devotional subtitle, Let There Be Light in Your Midnight, right? So the beginning of that was when my daughter, my new baby, she's one now, but she was like 6 months old, and I just left my husband. I'm going to be transparent. I picked up and I left him because he cheated and things of that nature and infidelity, and he got a baby on the way on another woman, and he told us to get out, right? But
sound like my life.
Mm,
go ahead.
in the interim of me writing a book, I was already, he was verbally abusing me. He was verbally abusive. He was telling me, you ain't nothing. You ain't no one. You ain't this. You ain't no prophet. No, he was verbally abusive. My husband, who I dedicated the book to, but I had to keep on this mask because everyone knew me.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So I put a dedication of him in it, but he was verbally abusing me anyway. And I was like, Lord, I said, this man is just keep putting this darkness over me. Every time I turn around, I said, you told me I'm a child of light. But every time I turn around, there's this dark shadow. And the Holy Spirit said, let there be light. Let there be light. I said, Lord, let there be light. He said, no, let there be light. And he brought me to Genesis. And in Genesis, it said, God said, let there be light twice. He said it two times. And that light he spoke was a living light. It was an illuminating light of who we really are in him. He said, let there be light. I said, oh, I'm in a midnight, God. He said, let there be light in your midnight. He said, because dark cannot stay around when light is there.
Yes, 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 yes.
That is the only solution to darkness, light. He said, I am your Elohim. You are in me. Let there be light. Let there be light. He said, speak it. Let there be light. And then he began to minister unto me. And he began to tell me about Daniel. Then he began to reveal to me about 21 days, how a culture is formatted in 21 days. He said, when you do something for 21 days, it becomes a mindset. And the mindset becomes a lifestyle. And the lifestyle becomes a culture. So if you want to, this is what he told me. So if you want your life to change, if you want this culture that is trying to bombard you and muzzle out your light, then you have to do something for 21 days to create a lifestyle and a culture. Let there be light. And that's how it got manifested.
Amen. Now, how can the listeners purchase the book? Where can they go to purchase the book or contact you?
Well, they can purchase it on Amazon, 21 Night, Woman's Devotional, Let There Be Light in Your Midnight. Or they could go on my Facebook page, Nicole Chosen Vaughn, and the link is there. Or on my ministry page, Prophet Nicole Chosen Vaughn, the link is there as well. And I have another ministry page for mentorship, Pearl of a Great Price Mentorship. The link is there as well. Or they want to buy it directly from me, you know, you just inbox me, and we can do it via PayPal, you know, paypal.me/Prophet Nicole Vaughn, and I can ship the book out. There's, you know, there's many ways of getting the book. And also, I've got T-shirts for it now, too, hallelujah. My friend and my mentor, she said, well, the book is awesome. What it's saying is awesome. Now you want people to wear it. You want the people who was living in the darkness, and they said, let there be light in their life. You want them to wear the T-shirt. I didn't think about that. I said, well, amen, hallelujah. So now there's T-shirts, let there be light in your midnight. You letting your midnight know that your darkness is over. It's time for the light to shine. And 1 Thessalonians declares that we are the light. It says, ye are children of day and children of the light.
Amen. Well, that has been our time, Prophet Nicole Vaughn. Thank you so much for stopping by the show. Your story really touched me, and I know it touched the listeners. God bless you, and have a super fabulous weekend.
Amen. Did you still want me to minister to someone?
No, that's been our time. We went over a little bit more. Thanks so much for stopping by, and to God be the glory for great things he's done through you.
Amen.
All right, listeners, you've been listening to Breathe Again Radio Show with Nicole Cleveland, and I was just interviewing Prophet Vaughn, and she has a book out, 21 Night Devotion, Women's Devotional. You could contact her, and she can let you know how you can purchase that book. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back with our second guest, Krista Deanna. Amen, amen. Thanks so much for hanging out with us on today. I'm going to jump right into our second segment with Krista Deanna. Now, she is a Christian singer-songwriter from Philadelphia who sings with conviction and power. Her songs speak to the journey of a woman after God's own heart. Now, each song is deeply rooted in a personal yet extremely vulnerable relationship with God. It's the beauty and emotion in her voice and the candor in her lyrics that help inspire others to go all the way every day with God. Welcome to the show, Krista.
I'm glad to be here, Nicole. Thanks for having me.
You are more than welcome. Krista, congratulations on your new single, If God Doesn't Want It. I tell you, it's such a catchy song. I love it, love it, love it, because I'm always saying to myself, I'm saying, hey, if God is not in it, I don't want to be in it. Take me,
Amen.
Remove anything that's not like you away from me. So talk to me about the inspiration behind this song.
Well, it's interesting because some songs I feel like I co-write with Jesus, and then there's other songs where he just kind of drops in them, trying to write it down as fast as possible. This was one of those songs, and I first wrote it when I was 13. I don't remember the process of writing it per se. I just remember it coming to me and me just enjoying singing it and playing the piano to it, and then later on when I was 16, I revamped it, gave it another version, and then this version is the latest version that you hear now. Once I got married, I asked my husband, he was interested in producing and things like that, and I asked him to give it like a hip-hop flair, maybe add a rap on it, things like that. I had to do it to work on it while I was gone, and when I came back, it was more or less the song that you heard today. It's crazy. We're not producers by any means. I mean, we're just kind of like, you know, Lord, we want to make this song awesome. Can you help us out? And we're really, really grateful that God did something miraculous through that song. And I love the lyrics, too. I really do. I can't believe he gave me something so catchy. It's awesome.
It really is, and it gets in your spirit, and it's one of those songs that you'll keep with you all day long. Talk
mm-hmm.
to me about your growing up. How long have you been singing?
I've been singing, let's see, wow. Well, I started taking voice lessons, and I sang my first solo in church when I was around 6 years old because my mom is a singer. My parents met in a band as my mom a singer and my father a musician. So there was a lot of music in the home, a lot about passion, and it wasn't so much about going to church. It was about having a relationship with Jesus and making that evident through the things that you that was really important to me when I was very young. So music has always been a huge part of how I connect with God and how I express myself.
Awesome, awesome. Talk to me about the music business. So you're an artist. There are so many people out here trying to get their singles and their music in front of producers. What advice would you give someone that's like, I have a gift, God's given me this gift, but how do I share it with the world? And they're just frustrated. So what would you say to them?
Well, first of all, I always say to make sure that you're 100% sure that this is what you're going to do, no turning back. Because for a very long time, I knew that God gave me this gift, but I was like, well, let me have my plan B just in case this doesn't work out. Like, if you're going to do this thing, you have to be sure that God wants you to do this, and there is no plan B. You are going to be a singer-songwriter, or you're going to be on this platform, kind of speaking it into existence and be agreeing with what God called over your life. Because when you're not sure, people can tell, and then they'll flood you with their opinions. And because you're not sure, you'll end up taking their advice, and you end up with a lot of regrets. As I said, I've been writing songs for a very, very long time, and I've worked with different people, different vocal coaches, different producers, and it was never, ever what I was expecting. And I was always like, oh, man, this isn't what I wanted, blah, 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 and always that kind of foot in, foot in, foot out kind of business. But praise God, not too long ago, God put me at a crossroad where he was like, you know, you're either going to fulfill what I've called you to be, or you're going to feel discontent in your life and discontentment. And so now that I know it sounds ridiculous to other people, but I know that this is what I'm called to do, and I know exactly what I want. God told me what genres I'm supposed to do, who I'm supposed to influence, what style I'm supposed to do, every single piece of it, so that when you come across to somebody, they can tell that you know who you are and you are in charge of your image and your sound. And it plays a huge part, because there's so many people that are trying to make music out there. There's a lot of talent. But it makes a big difference once you know. And then when you do, put your music out there everywhere, as many possible platforms, so that people can get a chance to hear you. If that's Facebook, if that's SoundCloud, if that's Reverb Nation, it's kind of a dinosaur in the music business. But, hey, put it up there. Just because the more opportunities there is for people to find you, the more chances you'll get to have some exposure. So just keep going at no stopping cost. Keep going and pray for the right people to come into your life to help you.
Amen, amen. Now, why do you think you sing to women? In your bio, it talks about your song speaking to the journey of a woman after God's own heart. Why are you right there ministering to women?
Well, I definitely want my songs to encourage both male and female, but I know for me, I have dealt with many specific female issues. A lot of women, they suffer with insecure, and of course, for men as well, but I do know firsthand what it feels like to either feel insignificant to a man because you don't fit that image of what the world society says is beautiful, or if you're suffering from depression, anxiety, or I have hypothyroidism. That is a female-related disease. So there's a lot of struggles that I've had that I feel are very specific to especially young women. As an educator, I work with teenagers all the time, and every time they're going through something, I was like, been there, you can get through it, been there, you can go through it.
Mm-hmm.
So as I was growing up, because the enemy comes to seek and destroy, absolutely kill and destroy,
absolutely.
He knows that female or that women are a threat. Once they are passionate about the Lord Jesus Christ, they can, they're the overseers of their homes. Of course, the men is the head, but they raise their children. They love on their husband. They're nurturers. And without being in tune with the Holy Spirit, we can cast our pearls before swine. Just constantly giving, 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 and feeling absolute worthlessness, not knowing where how our true value is rooted in, trying to give because we are longing so much to receive. It's very important for females to know that their worth is in Jesus Christ alone, regardless of what society says is beautiful or successful or strong or any of those things. Once you are in there with God, you can be exactly where He wants you to be, know who He's called you to be, and what to do specifically in every instance to make an impact on the people that you know.
Well said, well said. Krista, is there a difference between singing? I already know the answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Would you say there is a difference between singing gospel music, singing worldly music, and the reasons you do it, like the motives that people do it? A lot of times you hear people saying, I want to be famous, I want to make a lot of money, so I'm going to sing. Would you agree that if you're going to sing for the Lord, it's really not about the money and what you make?
Oh, of course. You can't know. It's impossible to go into a ministry for the money, because there's no guarantee that you're going to make money. The amount that you have to invest into your calling, honestly, most of the times you're on the opposite spectrum. Like, Lord, I need a miracle. Can you provide for what I need today? You have to be a very, very, particular person to be able to go into a full-time ministry, having that kind of faith, to knock away the naysayers and to be looked down upon and be crazy. Because, there's so many people trying to go into this business. So if you're into it for the fame and for the money, it's just not going to work. It's just not at all. It has to be from the heart, and there has to be a special anointing, because you can sing. You can sing well.
Yes.
That's fine.
Yes.
But, I mean, there's tons and plenty of singers in the church that sing really, really well. But are people's lives being changed? Is there an anointing and the Holy Spirit falling down and people coming in and thinking about things differently and leaving a totally different way, feeling encouraged and strengthened to go day by day? Does your voice do that? I mean, if you sing and you're not tapping into the Holy Spirit, it's honestly just noise. And that sounds really harsh, but I believe that
truth.
If you're going to use your gift for God, you have to use it for Him. Period.
Amen, amen. What's to come for Krista now? You have your single out, If God Doesn't Want It, but what's next?
Continue to do this thing. I mean, I'm pushing this single right now, and I'm ministering all over the place, and then I have another single coming out in April entitled Here, which is about when you feel alone and you're going through things and you don't see Him necessarily. He is here, principally. He is with you, holding your hand, revealing God's plan that He has for you. This is a part of His will. And then there will be another single coming out in June, which is entitled I Ain't Worried. Again, a lot of people deal with depression and anxiety, so that speaks to overcoming that battle, being able to trust God and not be worried at all. And then the full album will be coming out this coming fall, and I'm really excited. It's self-entitled, it's Krista Denae, and it is kind of like a journal through song, really speaking specifically the different phases of the spiritual walk, the victories, the turmoil. You'll hear me cry, you'll hear some poems. Very, very vulnerable, and I'm really excited that people are going to be able to relate to that and have the strength to know that this is a part of the Christian walk. You're not alone. God loves you very much, and this is a part of Him developing who you're called to be.
I love it, love it, love it. Why don't you tell the audience how they can download, how they can purchase your music, and how they can reach out to you?
Absolutely. So all you have to do, you could even Google it if you wanted to, Krista Denae, that's CHRISTADEANA. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. That's also my website. Please make sure when you go to my website, KristaDenae.com, right on the homepage, you can sign into my mailing list. We can get connected so you can see all the behind the scenes, everything that we're doing. Be the first on merchandise. Be the first to know about the new singles, interviews, everything you want to know to stay connected in this ministry about hope. You can go right to KristaDenae.com, CHRISTADEANA.com.
Love it, love it, love it. We're going to end the show going right into your single, If God Doesn't Want It. Just want to say thank you for stopping by the show, and thank you for what you're doing in the kingdom.
Thank you, Nicole. It was a pleasure.
Amen. All right, listeners, that has been our time for today. We're going to go home listening to If God Doesn't Want It.
If God doesn't want it, then I don't. I guess it just ain't for me.
If God doesn't want it, then I don't want it. I refuse to come. it, I don't want it, never should have had it. Yeah, you're charismatic and I always want your will to be leading me. Take away the feelings and the thoughts, I'll be thinking that'll surely be conceding me. I don't want to do this alone, cause I don't condone the evil that'll prevent me from bringing me home. I'm like a lamb to the slaughter, save me from my thirst to death, cause you seeking for that ever living water. Put a stop to whatever's not yours, Lord. I'm only in it cause I wanna be on one accord. I got the Holy Spirit in me, he's my shooting sword. I know that death's not the plan that you saw, so I know that you're the life giver. Mercy and forgiveness for a low life sinner like me. I don't want it if I know it's gonna be tempting to me. Show me the path that you know what's only meant for me.
If God doesn't want it, then I don't want it.